Luke, on a more serious note, the EU has outlined a new €3 billion strategy to become less dependent on China for rare earths.
Well, that's right, Sharon. The EU's executive arm has set out what it calls an economic security doctrine to bolster its resilience against supply shocks and threats. This comes as Beijing has been accused of using its market dominance in rare earths and other critical minerals as an economic weapon. Luke Schrager reports.
For Europe, it's time to secure its own supply of rare earths, the crucial resources its manufacturing sector needs that are at the heart of a €3 billion plan to reduce the bloc's dependency on China.
Around the world, trade is being weaponized. Supply chains are under pressure and some players are targeting strategic technologies.
Amid fallout from the trade war between Beijing and Washington, China began using its considerable heft and the virtual monopoly it has in rare earths production as the world's top producer and refiner. It started requiring licenses for the export of certain materials in April and slapped controls on rare earths exports in October before freezing them for a year. But rattled markets and blocked supply chains spurred Brussels to act.
Resource EU is more than just a text. It's a kind of control center, a cockpit for increasing, diversifying, and coordinating in real time the supply of raw materials in Europe. Raw materials that are vital to our European industries. The cost of independence is much lower than the cost of dependence.
The plan will see joint purchasing sped up and pooled orders, accelerate production within the bloc, as well as curb scrap exports with an aim to recycle and reclaim rare earth materials from waste that can be reused. In 2020, the EU imported 98% of the rare earths it needed from China. Demand is expected to increase as much as 5 to 12 times by 2050.
And Yuka, the EU has also presented a plan to support Ukraine financially using frozen Russian assets.
So the idea is to provide €90 billion to cover two-thirds of Ukraine's financial and military needs over the next 2 years. To do this, the European Commission wants to use Russian central bank assets frozen in Europe in the form of reparations loans to Ukraine. It's a controversial idea, but doesn't need unanimous approval by member states. Another option is to borrow money on international markets as part of the EU's general budget. Most of around €210 billion worth of Russian funds are held in a financial institution called Euroclear, based in Belgium. The government there is opposed to the idea, citing huge financial and legal risks. The Commission says the scheme does not amount to confiscation, as it would be in the form of a loan, which Ukraine can pay back once Russia paid war reparations.
We have listened very carefully to Belgium's concerns, and we have taken almost all of them into account in our proposal that is today on the table of the reparations loans. We have very strong safeguards in place to protect member states and to reduce the risks as much as possible. We will share the burden in a fair way, as it is the European way.
So Belgium doesn't want to shoulder the potentially huge risks here alone. What exactly is it asking for?
Well, Belgium wants guarantees that other EU members cover all legal costs if Russia sued Euroclear, and that they also help provide money quickly if a court ever ruled in Moscow's favour. It also demanded that other countries holding Russian assets also make those funds available to Ukraine. But there are concerns that EU members may not be able to raise the money fast enough in an emergency. And the Commission this week suffered a setback as the European Central Bank said it would not provide emergency cash to Euroclear to avoid a liquidity crisis. On Wednesday, the head of the ECB clarified her position and also stressed that the EU must ensure the legality of using frozen Russian assets. Let's take a listen.
We are refusing. It's just that we are saying we have to respect the Treaty of Europe in relation to the functioning of the European Central Bank. My strong hope in that is that we help Ukraine, that we help the financing of it, but not bypassing the treaty and not bypassing the imperative of financial stability.
Finally then, on a lighter note, Yuka, Thailand has lifted a decades-old ban on the sale of alcohol in the afternoon.
Yeah, it's like people there are saying, finally, the move comes just ahead of the end-of-year tourism season and will run on a trial basis for 6 months. Since 1972, sales of beer and other alcoholic drinks had been banned between 2 p.m. and 5 p.m. in Thailand. With the rules relaxed, shops and bars can now sell alcohol from 11 a.m. to midnight continuously. The ban was originally intended to prevent government employees from drinking during work hours, but it has long puzzled foreign visitors in a country that has some of the highest alcohol consumption rates in Asia. And that's it from the business desk.
Yuka, thanks so much for all of that. Yuka, we're there with all the day's business news. Up next, it's